for a while. And coming up 10 until 2, Marty Griffin takes the air chair. We'll check in with Marty in just a few minutes. And yesterday, Aaron, as you know, after our show, we sit down and kind of debrief and talk about the next day. And Doug Whaley's name came up because he has experienced something a lot of people will in the future, but he's doing it now. And I said, is this actually happening now? And then you sent the video. And Doug, by the way, Upper St. Clair grad, former general manager of the Buffalo Bills in the National Football League. And right now he's the de facto general manager of Pitt's football program. Doug, good morning.
Morning, Larry. Did I hear there's sunshine in Pittsburgh? What is going on? Wait a minute. Is the apocalypse coming?
I know. We're just going to hold on to that while we can. But Doug, you sent a video as a passenger in an autonomous vehicle, and I want to know where this is happening, and you love this experience. That's what I hear.
Larry, not only do I, first of all, thanks for having me on, and hello to all your listening audience. And my folks live in Phoenix, and I've been coming out here since 95, 96. So long and short, the last year or two, I've been seeing these autonomous vehicles, Waymo, rideshare offered, and I've actually not only, I'm about six rides into it, and my first ride was I was taking a red eye home from Phoenix back to Pittsburgh, and the surge prices for Uber and Lyft were just astronomical. So I said, hey, let me check out Waymo, and I scheduled a ride. First of all, it was about a third of the price. Scheduled a ride, and my first experience was a little nerve-wracking because it just like an Uber or Lyft, you schedule the ride that comes, picks you up, and the car pulls up and it has your initials on. So you walk up to the car, and I really didn't read how to enter the car and the steps to it. I thought it was just going to be self-explanatory. You know, I didn't know. So I'm walking around and it says, all right, the car will wait 5 minutes. And I'm looking for the door handles to open the door, There's nothing going on. So there's like 2 minutes left. I call the customer service and they're like, well, just scroll up on your phone and it says unlock doors or open the hatch. So it is very easy to use. You look on the app, you unlock the door, you get in the car. When you sit down, it gives about a 15-minute verbal tutorial about how to start the ride, if anything happens on the ride, what buttons to push on the middle console in the back, how to unlock the doors, how to push the button for it to pull over. So I get in, buckle up, listen to this, and just hit start for the ride. And I'll tell you, Larry, every traffic law possible, the car obeyed. It actually put on turn signals. It knew when to merge, it when to stop. Now, the thing that I will say that it, which gives me comfort and will should give people comfort that are going to try it, is it maps out the route that has the least amount of traffic. So when I was doing the red eye, it was like at 10 o'clock at night, it went on the highway because it wasn't traffic. When I came back with my family, I took my family, 11-year-old, 2-year-old, and my wife, put them in there, and we took the surface roads because it was during the day from the airport to my parents' house. So that's one of the things that I think gives a lot of comfort to me. It's not going to be in a really congested area or route. So there's not a lot of things that can pop up that may cause harm.
And as you know, Doug, they've been experimenting with autonomous vehicles in the Pittsburgh area for years and years because of the challenges with the hills and turns and bridges. But out in Arizona, I didn't realize this was commercially operational. I didn't know that.
I think they operate not only in Phoenix, I think they're also in the Bay Area and L.A. So they are up and running. And the one thing, too, Larry, that not only the prices are usually lower than Uber and Lyft, but when you're calculating not having to tip a driver, you're even on a high Waymo ride, you're probably at least 5 to 10% less than Uber or Lyft.
And you say you've done this 5-6 times and you're real comfortable with it now, and you would prefer it to any other way.
I do, because when you get in the car, usually I've I'm coming off a four or five and a half hour plane ride, so I can get in the car, I can talk and say whatever I want to whoever I want and not have to worry about somebody listening to my conversation, judging my conversation, or trying to figure out who I am and what I'm talking about. So that is very nice. The only drawback I will say is the max you can ride is, well, four adults, but it's limited cargo room. The trunk is not that big, so if you have a lot of luggage, it's not an option for you.
Well, that is absolutely fascinating. Aaron, would you take an autonomous, they call it it's Uber, Waymo, or what do you call it?
Waymo. It's just like an Uber. You say it's Waymo, and everybody knows it's autonomous, and it's, like I said, it's the wave of the future, but I feel completely comfortable, and because I'm a private pilot, I understand that when you're flying, you're flying really autonomous vehicles. All the pilots do are take off and land. So if you trust planes, which some people don't, I do very much so, it's going this way. So you better get comfortable.
Aaron, would you do it?
I think right now I have a big smile on my face because I'm still extremely, it just freaks me out. But what you said, Doug, about having like the privacy is appealing. You can talk to whoever about whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and the best thing, and I wish I would have had my camera out. I was driving to the airport and we passed an accident with two people that were driving and I'm in a Waymo. And I said, this would have been a perfect commercial for Waymo.
Yeah. I mean, the safety factor, but I know a lot of people would be anxious with hands off the wheel and nobody behind it. But I didn't know this was actually happening, so appreciate you taking some time, Doug. By the way, while we got you, how's Pitt football going to be?
I think it's going to be – I think we're positioning ourselves very well. Last year, obviously, before the injuries, we showed that we could compete with anybody going 6-0. What happened once we had a couple injuries, the level of expectation dipped a little bit. So what we concentrated on this year, this offseason, is really beefing up our depth, especially off the offensive line and the wide receiver room. We got a stud core of linebackers coming back, defensive linemen. We added a couple corners. So we're excited not only about our front line, players like Eli Holstein and Kenny Johnson, but the guys that we brought in. So if we have injuries, which we all know injuries are part of the game in football, our level expectation will not dip.
Well, with you helping, your brilliant football mind, appreciate it. And thanks for sharing about the autonomous driving, too. We'll see you back in the Berg.
We'll see you back in the Berg soon. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Right. Doug Whaley, he was the general manager of Buffalo Bills, very successful. He also spent time as the senior vice president of player personnel for the XFL in Upper St. Clair grad and now kind of the de facto GM of Pitt football.
It's amazing.
He's a great guy. Yeah, I didn't know he was a pilot, too.
Right. He said that so casually. I'm like, wait a minute.
We should come up with a segment, What I Learned on the Big
True.
Q Morning Show.
Yep, every day.